The Justin Robert Young podcast is brought to you, as always, by The Contender, the game of presidential debate. Here's the thing, though. If you head on over to thecontender.us right now, which is, you know, the best place to go ahead and buy it, and you load the page, you're going to see, get the newest 2016 expansion pack available now for pre-order. Go ahead and click on that. It's a little pre-order link right below. It says unavailable. Don't mind that. Just pre-order it. Understand, we're putting in the orders for this on Monday. These things are going to be in your hot little hands within the next few weeks. But to make sure that you get them before we sell out of them, you got to go ahead and pre-order it now. 2016 expansion pack for The Contender. 100 cards, including quotes, based on real quotes from Bernie Sanders, Marco Rubio, Hillary Clinton, Jeb Bush, Martin O'Malley, Ben Carson, Ted Cruz, and, of course, the Donald Trump. Man, you're going to need to have this in your life. The 2016 Contender expansion available at thecontender.us. And by viewers like you, we are only two away. And I know for a fact that if we get one person to join our Patreon at patreon.com/JURY, that there is a dude who has confessed that he is just a lurker, obsessed this man or woman is with being the 420 patron. Yes, we are looking for 420 patrons. YOLO swag. We're already over 600. We're going to have a little bit of Patreon goal talk during the show. But I just want to go ahead and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you to everybody who has joined this team. It means the world to me, and it makes this program a bigger and bigger priority. We got a huge summer coming up, and it's all because of the folks at patreon.com/JURY. But enough of this jibber jabber. What do you say we go ahead and start the show? I'll tell you what, I will never, ever, ever be able to forgive the Possum Posse for not just telling me outright to stop using their song without their permission to start my show. Because I like them a lot. I think they're great. I love that song. But if they just went out and told me, hey, man, we don't like the fact that we're associated with your show and everybody who watches it, I would have to just go ahead and tell them to take a hike. Because, like, man, I'm sorry. I can't not start the show. I love it so much. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Justin Robert Young Show, the jury program for short. You can call it that. Your friends can, but your enemies can not. This is going to be a real blast. We got a ton to talk about. Some business up top. First and foremost, time-sensitive stuff. So if you are watching live, this is something that if you have not already taken the time to do it, it might be a good time to. If you head on over to diamondclub.reddit.com, then you will be able to find a sticky post right up there at the top for the Diamond Club voting. Now, this is for the podcast awards. Effectively, the short version of this story is that But the Podcast Awards have put in new rules wherein a lot of the larger shows that we do, including Night Attack, The Morning Stream, and Coverville, more friends, you know, in our Diamond Club, Frog Pantsy, and family, they can't win the award anymore. So what we are doing is having ourselves a fun little primary where we can have a lot of the other shows that, you know, basically can have a hot shot to win a podcast award based on the machine that we built flawlessly last time that won us so many podcast awards, including this one for Best Mature Podcast that I hold in my hot little hand for Night Attack. So the voting ends at the end of tonight. So if you are watching live, then go ahead. If you haven't, I believe it is YOLO420.com/hatvoting. The jury show right now is pretty well ahead on everything or everybody else in its category. And I thank everybody who has voted for doing that. However, I am in a bit of a dogfight for news and politics with Current Geek. Current Geek right now has, I guess, a slight edge. I don't know how they're going to calculate this on first place votes versus second place votes, but I feel like politics is just a see you next Tuesday here behind them. We need last second surge. We need a last second surge for politics. Thank you to everybody. This has been so fun to watch all these numbers go up and down because a lot of these shows are really, really good. They're high on quality, and yet they are not the biggest shows, and they deserve, honestly, I believe that they deserve this kind of recognition, specifically if I'm one of them. So there's the first thing, Podcast Awards, that is YOLO420.com/hatvoting. All right, more business. There are a few ways. So one of these things, all right, I went and quit my job last November. If this is one of the first times that you have watched watched the program, I used to fly around the country and the world putting on scavenger hunts for companies. That was my full-time job. I worked with this awesome company called The Go Game. That's what we did. Flew all over the place. Had a great time. I left that in November so I could concentrate more fully on this, the great world of new media and my relationship with you, the audience. So one of the things that I've gotten a few times, and if I'm getting random people on Twitter asking me about it, that means that, like, there's more of a desire, more than enough desire, rather, for me to address it. So I am going to be setting up a store this week to put together packs of jury show, Diamond Club-related stickers and a few other fun ideas. So just stay tuned to my Twitter, twitter.com/JustinRYoung. And if there are any designs that you have done of a Diamond Club logo that you would like to be a sticker, I'm going to trade some cash, man. Like I really would just like rad designs of diamonds that you guys would like to be made into stickers. I'm going to put them together into packs. It's going to be a fun time. So go ahead and just keep your eyes out on that. Also, this is another thing. This is all right. Let me take a little side jag here because I got all these plugs here and I got all these things that I literally just need to tell you guys about because otherwise there's no point in having this relationship where we can talk to each other. But I ran into a weird situation with the Contender a couple weeks back because we are through a situation that I can't really go into. We wound up getting a lot more of our politically incorrect decks than we thought we were going to. That wound up being a boon to our ability to leave them on Amazon. We were never meaning to sell the politically incorrect decks on Amazon. We wound up selling the politically incorrect decks on Amazon. And we got a one-star review
on it.
And now it is very, very clear that this one-star review was from somebody that was a fan of mine, a fan of probably this show. He might be listening right now. And to that person, I just want to say, and I communicated with him. I'm going to try to summarize his point. One was a little bit of misinformation because he was under the impression that the politically incorrect decks were Kickstarter specific and that they were only promised to Kickstarters and that now we were selling them to make money on top of that when that wasn't the case. But that's a simple misunderstanding. I could certainly see where he got that. It just wasn't the case. And that's fine. No harm, no foul. But one of the things that he made very clear, and then it was echoed by somebody else who was commenting on that thread, was that we did a promotion for the politically incorrect deck where we offered, or I offered, to sign and draw an a 8++D penis on one of the cards if you put in offer code when you at checkout, the diamond sign, the thing that is on my hat, greater than, less than, right? So they made the point that, like, hey, listen, if you were hardcore and you backed the contender on day one, right? Like when we launched it at Nerdtacular almost a year ago, then you kind of feel like a horse's ass left out in the rain when there's now an opportunity to get stuff signed that you did not have. So this opened up a really weird element within me. Like, because I was a little, it took me by surprise because I didn't know that that was something that anybody would want, right? Like, aside from random people that you see at conventions and everything, the idea that anybody would want my autograph is a foreign concept to me, right? Like, I don't understand it. And not, this isn't like any kind of like, you know, false modesty thing. It's just something that never crossed my mind. And so that was a vector that apparently caused him enough of a, enough vexing for him to write a one-star review, or at least it was in part of it. So here's what we did. Number one, from here on out, if you buy anything on thecontender.us and you use offer code DIAMOND, again, that is the greater than symbol followed by the less than symbol, no space in between, I will sign anything that you buy on the contender, right? I will go in and I'll sign it up and I will send it to you. Totally cool. Just go ahead and use that code if you are buying the game for the first time. If you back the Kickstarter and you randomly want something signed, just send me an email, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Just let me know what card you want me to sign. I will sign a contender card. I will send it to you, and all will be good in this hood. And that goes for anything. Even if you didn't back the contender, you literally just want me to sign something and send it to you, totally rad. justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. And understand that me saying this out loud is something that I find very weird. And even as the words flutter past my lips and go into the ether, I find myself to be a bit of a pretentious turd for even saying, here is the way that you can get my autograph. Understand that those feelings are going through my head, and we're here now. There's nowhere else that we'd rather be than right here. Good, great, grand, wonderful. Let's get back to my favorite subject, me. I mentioned before that the Patreon is such an important part of the show. It absolutely is. I believe right now we are at 419 Patreons, our patrons. I saw one come in while we were talking, which means that we could very well hit the next patron is our 420 patron. And that's going to be a really, really, really fun time. However, I'm just going to let you know, excitement is building toward our next goal. Our next goal is only $96 away. It's at 700. And what happens there is we start doing a live call-in show. And I will do the first of the Jury in Your House tour. Now, that on the regular basis doesn't happen until $1,000 per week, effectively. But at $700, I'm going to test drive it. And the reason why I mention this is because we are already getting solicitations. The Justin Robert Young Home Office. I mean, I'll tell you what. I feel like the IOC. I feel like the World Cup. I feel like this is an event for which people are selling their city. Because I got an email that I can only describe as a flowery a sales job for the person who wrote it. City. I almost don't even want to. I don't even want to say. Maybe I'll say it. It was for Cincinnati. It was Hot Beverages. Hot Beverages, one of our regulars here, wrote in saying, "Hey, listen, this is why Cincinnati should be on your list of places." Oh, look at that. Hold on. Wait a minute. We have our 420th patron. Thank you very, very, very much to the one and only Mark Mayfield with his $1 Patreon pledge. You are now the Nate Dogg of our little motley crew. YOLO swag 420, indeed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're far too kind. So anyway, so people are really excited. I'm very, very happy to hear that people are excited about the idea that I would pick a region of the country. I'll do a little weekend drive through. We'll do politics on Friday, a meetup on Saturday, jury on Sunday in three different cities, hopefully in one different region. If Hot Beverages had her way, we would start in Ohio. I'd probably wind up flying into Cincinnati or Columbus. And I do Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland, something like that. But I'm super, super, super pumped about the idea that people are excited. And if you would like to pitch your home or area, region of the country, for the inaugural, first ever, Justin Robert Young In Your House weekend tour, then go ahead and do so. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. All right. That's enough of the talking about me. I will now make a lateral move, which is kind of a cheat, but I'm going to move away from me and toward somebody else in my family. And I've never talked about this person before because this person did not exist legally until 2 days ago. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you the first of his generation, Jackson Young. Jackson Miles Young. And yes, he is Miles, like the wizard, with a Y. Miles with a Y. He was born in Orlando. Over the last 2 days, here we go. Look at this. That's my baby brother holding his baby son. I'm so thrilled. Everything went great. Mother and baby are happy and healthy. So our absolute love goes out to them. And now, man, I'll tell you what. I'm super excited. I am super, super pumped to head out there. I'll be there in July, and I don't know. Maybe we'll do something on the site where we can, you guys can decide what bizarre baby clothing that I'll bring to put upon young Jackson, who at this point, I mean, listen, I'm going to let y'all know there is a fairly large chance that I will never procreate, right? If that's the case, then this man, this young man, this swaddled baby is the generational heir to everything you see here. Yes, young Jackson will one day be able to say, it turns out that I have the unquestioned rights to the back catalog of jury podcasts. That would make me very, very happy. And so if that's the case, and we now zoom out, you know, on whatever, they're not probably using computers anymore. It's some like organic lump of silicon that projects a picture in the air or something like that as Jackson Miles Young, now aged 50, tilts back in his big leather chair, smoking a cigar, realizing that I am talking about him when he is a child in this digital fidelity. Yeah, no, that would make me really happy. Jackson Miles Young, welcome to the world. You are officially the youngest member of Diamond Club, and I'm very, very, very excited to have him. All right. Today on the show, you're like, dude, the show is like literally 20% over already. Don't worry. We got more to talk about, and it's not all going to be things that I'm doing or other things that are awesome about me. We are going to talk about complaints. Complaints. Because it's something that I only recently realized in the last like 2 weeks has been the source of so much of my own self-destruction. We get into that right after this. There is one more plug that I want to bring out for everybody, and that is we almost got it working. If you have an Amazon Echo and you are listening to this show right now, understand that we record live at 7 p.m. Pacific time on Sundays, 10 p.m. Eastern time, although we were a little late this week. If you would like to listen along with us live or enjoy any of the fine programming that streams out on DiamondClub.tv, you can just say... And I'm going to, all right, this is going to be weird because we're going to, I think we'll still be able to do it. Alexa, play Diamond Club FM on TuneIn.
You want to hear a station for Diamond Club, right?
Yes.
The best matching station I found is Diamond Club FM number 2 from TuneIn.
Before you like say
so this is Dills, Willie Dills Gregory, who is streaming right now on DiamondClub.tv. You can hear him live. And I'm sure we're going to figure out a way that you can make it easy to call in and hear me. Alexa, stop.
Are you saying nice thing?
Alexa, stop. Jesus, they never listen. So anyway, I thought that was super cool. If you've got an Echo, go ahead and check that out. Let's talk about complaining. Like I mentioned before, I left my job in November, and I've made no secret about it. I've talked about it here on the show that I've been in a bit of a funk, and a lot of that was because I was having a hard time readjusting from what is a very packed schedule and effectively living a double life of doing my full-time job as well as my podcast job at the same time. I was having a hard time getting away from that sort of panic-based lifestyle, which I had become very comfortable and proficient at. The idea of me scheduling out my own day ultimately proved to be more daunting to me than I initially realized. But there was also something else that came to me as I've tried to put, you know, these things together. And it's that I complained a lot at my old job. Almost every conversation that I would have with my coworkers was in some way complaining about the work that we were doing, about something that management was doing, something that a client did, something that was annoying, right? Now, this isn't to say that, you know, management was bad or anything. It's like anything else. you know, you have work squabbles. You know, when you're side by side, elbow to elbow, you know, it's hard to always get along 110% with everybody that you work with and for. It's just a fact. But what struck me was that I had created an element of my life where if something frustrated me to a certain point, I would just toss that into the complaint bin. And then I would complain about it. And that would pretty much be it. It was kind of like burning trash, right? Sure, it was a little obnoxious, and it probably was a little smellier than it should have been. But at the end of the day, I brought the trash outside, I lit it aflame, and then it was gone. And then I started working for myself. And then I started having more and more control over what I did. And then I had less and less people to blame for what I didn't. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that that number was uno. Just one. Me, baby. And so now all of a sudden, I would have the exact same process where I would get screwed up. I would think something was going wrong, and I would toss that into my bucket, my complaint bucket. And then instead of being able to just light it on fire and have it flow out into the ether, I realized that I had to eat it. Like I couldn't bitch about my boss because I'm my boss. So what used to be a fairly effective therapy where I could just sort of bitch about something and you know, it was something that I couldn't affect. That's why I was yelling about it. And man, did I have a million and a half solutions on how we could do things differently. So I wasn't just complaining. No. I'm analyzing the situation because I'm the smartest guy around. Now was just straight up depression. It was just me beating myself up. And I'm like, man, that's no way to live. And over the last really week, few days, I've kind of come to that conclusion that, like, I just can't get upset about stuff at the rate that I used to. I need to, for my own survivability, understand that by clogging up, if I'm going to spend all my time eating trash, I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to feel bad about myself. It's going to damage my ability to be productive. And that's what ultimately I've came to my own personal conclusion. I've self-diagnosed that was a problem for me. It was an issue. But then that got me thinking that maybe that wasn't a good way to be before. Maybe I just didn't think about my actions appropriately. Maybe my empathy had a limitation. And as long as the other was the other, I could yell and scream and criticize about it with impunity. But then when the other was me, I understood that that was something that I had to deal with. There was no mass lost in this equation. So what I thought was burning trash probably wasn't. It was putting things out in the ether and ultimately having some kind of effect. So I wanted to bring this to the show because I want to know what you guys think. I want to know where you feel the line is on good complaining or bad complaining. Because in general, I used to have one rule about complaining and criticizing. That I would not say anything behind someone's back that I would not say to their face. In the same words. Like, if you're going to criticize somebody, you're going to run somebody down, you better be able to do it. Your relationship with that person better be such that you can do it right damn there to their face. Now, that's easy for me because I'm a loudmouth idiot who's very often thrown his reputation to the wind for very, very silly and frivolous reasons. So the idea that it's like, yeah, no, I'll tell anybody what they want to hear. In fact, I'm going to talk to people about it so much that they're probably just going to be bored and annoyed that I have yet another brilliant opinion. But I want to know your rules. What's healthy complaining? Do you find complaining healthy? Do you think that that's something that is a good way to go? Because right now I'm in this very zen idea, right? Like I'm like, oh man, you know, maybe I should think twice about complaining about stuff. Now, of course, this is exempt for when we do the show because, I mean, hell, if I didn't complain about things, I don't know exactly what we would be able to talk about on this and the 57,000 other podcasts that I do. Every once in a while, we're going to have to get a little salty. But when it comes to your personal life, write me in, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. I have a fun fact about tabletop games that's going to blow your mind. Shitty Tease coming up next. So this is a segment we like to call I Just Read This Thing on Reddit. Do 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 Reddit. Do 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 do. I just read it on Reddit. I was on the Reddit/r/board games before I was doing the show, and I had these show notes here. And the post on Reddit was, this is the dumbest rule in all of tabletop. It's a stupid rule. Doesn't make any sense. It's the worst ever. GOAT. And the rule was, in Sorry, you can't advance your pieces unless you hit a 6. Now, this is a complete false construct. It only serves as a barrier to you and the actual fun parts of the game. It is totally random by the nature of it being a pop-o-matic bubble dice game. And it's not even like, oh, you got dealt a raw hand. If 6 comes up, you can't move. It's you can't move until you get 6. And so there was a lot of sturm and drong and gnashing of teeth on this forum. And then somebody else pointed out that the issue with Trouble and its pop-o-matic bubble is an American issue. And I don't mean that in a way to say that it is our unique American exceptionalism that blinds us to the brilliance of Trouble. I don't mean to say that for whatever reason, maybe it is our lack of reliance on the metric system that makes the Trouble game beyond our comprehension. Nay, fair Americans, I am saying that we have misnamed this game. Ah, it's ridiculous. Misnamed this game. How could we have misnamed the game of Trouble? It rhymes with Pop-O-Matic Bubble. How could it be wrong? I'll tell you how. And believe you me, there is nobody that you will find on the internet that wants to proudly wave the red, white, and blue as this man right here. Your old pal Justin Robert Young believes in the stars and stripes. The Constitution is a living document that is among the most breathtaking acts of human engineering ever. It has spread democracy and freedom and wealth from sea to shining sea and beyond that, I believe in America. However,
You will rarely hear me say this, but I'm going to say it right now. Europe did it better. Europe did it better. According to this Reddit post, and it might not be right. I'm just going to let you know. But there was a lot of people talking about it. Trouble ain't called trouble over there in Europe. In fact, in three countries, it has three different names, one better than the last. In the UK, trouble, and its frustrating rule that does not allow you to move until you randomly roll a six, is called frustration.
Quite right. Get the frustration.
Who would buy a board game called Frustration? Like, we don't get enough frustration in the world. For whatever reason, this thing is called Frustration in the United Kingdom. Only the British. A country wherein the citizenry counts their ability to wait in line amongst the national war chest. Only the self-loathing British would purposely walk to the store and, for their kids no less, buy a game called Frustration.
Well, you'll need the training for when you get older. Stiff up a lip now.
But that's not as good. It's not as good as the Italians. Oh. The Italians nail it even better. In fact, it's a little meta. It's kind of a meta title to a game that immediately, upon first blush, forces you to roll a six to move. Arbitrarily, for no reason, if just to watch you squirm, because in Italian, the title of the game is... Don't get angry. Huh? Don't get angry. Just don't. Hey, you didn't roll a six. Don't get angry. You didn't roll a six. Why are you so angry? Don't get angry. The game's called Don't Get Angry. Oh. Don't get angry. And listen, this is something that, is just a fact in this case. Got them both in trouble a couple years back. But on this, the Italians are playing second fiddle to the Germans. The Germans got it going on in this department. Because our name just left in the dust. Left in the dust. Trouble. The UK, frustration. Don't get angry. In Italian, grazie mille. But in German. Oh, I would love this game if it were called in English what it's called in German, which according to Reddit is human. Don't get upset. Human, don't get upset. Brilliant on so many levels. Number one, the identifier of human. As if to bring it, it almost is like, it's like, it reassures you that indeed, there is a binding condition to all of us. We all are animals risen from the swamp. And yes, we all feel frustration when that pop-o-matic bubble does not ricochet your dice at the proper angle. But human is our common thread. We are all humans. And as we understand that, I implore you, don't get upset. Just don't. Human, don't get upset. Or you could look at it that this is an omnipotent alien overlord beaming down upon his chattel, saying, human, don't get upset. Our pop-o-matic bubbles are there to train you for the forthcoming war with the Tsar Foxes. Human, don't get upset. I hope all these are real. I'm pretty sure that they're... If they're not real, then I apologize for just lying and wasting all of your times. And if there's anybody in the... I'm sure there are people in the UK, let alone in old Mother Italy and in Germany. I need to know whether or not this is real. I really, 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 really need to know whether or not human don't get upset is something that people play for fun in Germany. I want to give a big shout out to the ladies, all the ladies that listen to this show. I have gone most of my career, and this is comedy writing and fiction writing and stuff like that. Always kind of assuming that my milieu, as it were, was very, you know, fart, booger, poopy, ejaculate kind of centered guy stuff. But I've noticed something recently. There was a thread on Facebook in the Tadpool community where they were like, hey, if you could have anybody from Tadpool DM your game, right? Your Dungeons and Dragons game, who would you want it to be? And there was a lot of people that said me. I was very happy. I would love to DM any and all of your campaigns. But I noticed something else that, with very few exceptions, everybody who was saying it was me was a lady. And I don't know why, man. Maybe it's just me, son of a single mother, that always, for whatever reason, it makes me happy to have earned your respect because it means that I am effectively communicating myself on a level that transcends beyond just the boys club fart on your hand and rub it in your face kind of frat house nonsense. So to all the young ladies out there, those of you who enjoy the stuff that I do, a salute, a hail, and hearty handshake to you. Before we started, I saw the trailer for the Suicide Squad. This is the one that they played during the MTV Movie Awards. Don't do it. Don't say it. You just barely survived Batman Superman. Everybody was, you know, that movie sucked objectively. And then, you know, I talked about it on the morning stream and I talk about it on Hotline Monday. And next thing you know, I got random DC fanboys lighting up my Twitter saying, hey, listen, be fair to Batman Superman. Don't do it. Ooh, don't do it. One of us goes in, then we all go through it. I'm a little worried about Suicide Squad. I'm a little worried for two reasons. One of them is in the trailer, the other's not. Here's the one that's not in the trailer. I'm worried about, okay, I'm not saying it's not going to be good. I'm hoping that it is very good. I would very much like for it to be good. Because again, DC is Coke. Marvel is Pepsi. I like it when the big markets do well. I want to see the best Batman movies, the best Superman movies, the best Joker movies, all of them. I want to see them. I love these characters, and I would like to see them done well. Two things bothered me. Number one, rumors circulating that they are reshooting elements of Suicide Squad to make it funnier. That, according to that report, all the jokes that were in the movie were in the first trailer. Now, that that report has been refuted by one of the actors, although, I mean, what the hell is the actor going to say? Yeah, no, we're reshooting it. And the trailer that was released seemed to have a few funny moments. There was some funny stuff in there. So that would seem to be incorrect. But that worried me a little bit. Because for however good you think Batman versus Superman is, like Man of Steel, it was a fairly joyless movie. Like, there's not a whole lot of, like, big fun, aren't we having fun kind of moments, right? Even the montage of Superman saving people, he looks like he's, you know, saving. He's as excited about saving people as you are finishing the last 30 minutes of your shift, wherever your shift is. He's just there to punch a clock, bro. Raise up off his nuts. Absolutely no smile. He's just kind of like, yeah, whatever. I guess I'm Superman. So the idea that Suicide Squad would be very, very dark worries me. That worried me. And then I saw the trailer. Now I'll say this. I liked the trailer. I thought there were some real funny character moments. That's what you kind of want in a movie like that, in an ensemble movie. But, and this isn't necessarily anything that's in the trailer. This is me just projecting my own issues onto it. It does the Guardians of the Galaxy play an old song during the trailer thing. Again, like it did in the first one with Bohemian Rhapsody. But this one, it's You Don't Own Me and Ballroom Blitz, which C. Robert Cargill, the writer of the new Doctor Strange movie and friend of the show, he pointed out that, is it odd that both trailers featured songs from the Wayne's World soundtrack, Bohemian Rhapsody and Ballroom Blitz? To which I posited, well, maybe there's hopes that the shitty Beatles will also be on that soundtrack. But the thing is, like, with Guardians of the Galaxy, the throwback song made sense because there is this element of the Peter Quill character. He was a pop culture and music obsessive. It's what bound him to his mom on some level. And now he is out here in this alien world, and this is his connection back home. So that's why Hooked on a Feeling made sense in that trailer. It also played a part in the movie, which is cool, right? You know, isn't that what trailers used to do, is show us little fun peeks, pinhole peeks into the movie's universe? J.C. Calhoun points out that the same Queen song was in Hardcore Henry. The trailer, at least, the trailer had the Queen song Don't Stop Me Now, which was also featured in Shaun of the Dead. Now I feel like we've just evolved into a movies with Mikey, but did you know? Segue. Anyway, I'm kind of... I don't know why I'm saying it. I hope it is good. I have nothing but hopes that it will be good. I'm just worried that it's trying to either portray itself as something that it's not, and if it is not what it is being sold as, then I have less interest in it. I want to see advertisements for. And, like, I want it to be its own thing. I so desperately don't want it to be Guardians of the Galaxy. I want it to be its own, have its own feeling. I don't just want it to be this like cut and copy kind of thing. Because DC has an opportunity to create a new world. But, you know, one that has some kind of laughs and isn't just a soul-sucking 2.5-hour drudgery. But I'm sure that it'll be better when they add another 30 minutes to Batman versus Superman, because that's what everybody left the theater saying, is thank God they were able to cram that into 2.5, because I didn't feel like they had enough time. Anyway, here's another flashback. Oh, wait. Here's another dream sequence. Oh, wait. Here's another dream sequence in a dream, but it's maybe not a dream, and it's a time travel thing. Wait. Here's another waking fantasy, because we've already done 5 dream sequences, and 6 would be too many. I'll be right back with your emails. That is right after this. I hope that the 3-hour Batman Superman is all dream sequences. In fact, like I hope that there's more. I hope that they're all, it's everybody dreaming. In fact, I hope that at some point you realize that the first act of the movie was just Aquaman dreaming, and that's how they work him in, and a cameo. He just wakes up with his head on a conch shell, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, that was a crazy aqua dream," and then he swims off and gets caught in a dolphin net. You can email us, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. It'd be tuna net. Dolphins get caught in tuna nets, idiot. Jesus. Anyway, I hope that Aquaman swims away and then gets his nose caught in one of those soda can plastic rings. And he's like, "I'm Aquaman, I can't talk because now my bottle nose is caught in a Coke can ring." You can email us, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. We had a taped episode last week, so we have one email. So listen, if you would like your email read on the show, now is the week to do it. Because very often, we have too many emails to read. Now is the time to strike while the iron is hot. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Calvin writes us, "My name is Calvin. I've been listening to your show for many years. I plan on writing up a post for Diamond Time, but I was wondering if once I get a GoFundMe set up, if you'd be willing to mention it on the Jury Podcast. I have an exciting trip to Australia and Papua New Guinea coming up, and I'll be training in Australia for 2 months and then working in PNG, providing medical care, education, and food to local villages throughout the country's river system. I would love to hear back from you. P.S. I'm a little mad you'll be coming to Indy for Gen Con this year while I'll be on this trip. Calvin, the answer is no." Just kidding. It's yes. I'll send you an email back. Whenever you call me, I'll be there. I'll be around. You can find this podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, or some other stuff. Email me at justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Remember, you can support this show on Patreon. Patreon.com/JURY. Twitter and Instagram is Justin R. Young. Buy The Contender at thecontender.us. 2016 expansion on sale right now. If you want to get it signed, just enter Diamond. That is greater than less than at checkout. And, of course, you can hashtag join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. Ladies and gentlemen, if you find yourself burning the trash of your own complaints, if you find yourself in the midst of a self, a fraudful projection on the quality of Suicide Squad, if you find yourself as a human indeed getting upset, well then remind yourself that my name is Justin Robert Young, and I would like you to know that I say to you, please don't die. Do you like how your hair gets cut?
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Don't get angry.